Thank you, Don. I have it printed. Oh, no, it's not there. Interesting. I had intended to print. So I'll give it verbal. A warning about the sermon. Today's reflection is potentially triggering for those struggling or who have struggled with mental illness and mental health issues. If it helps, I have a printed copy of the sermon in the narthex and quiet space in the rainbow room. I don't say any of this with expertise, but merely my experience, and so please forgive me if I drift into generalities. I don't like Father's Day. I'm glad I screwed things up because on the original plan of Scripture, this text was supposed to fall last week, and I probably would have chickened out of this sermon. But I don't like Father's Day. I get through it every year. I'm thankful for my children and the privilege to be their father. But when I was 12, my parents separated. And because of that, I've struggled with Father's Day ever since. I'm very thankful for the relationship I have with my stepfather and my father-in-law and my grandfather growing up. And I've had particularly healing relationships with men over my lifetime. But it doesn't fix what might have been in terms of my relationship with my dad. My dad had a rough upbringing. He was the oldest in his family. He grew up in a difficult home, subjected to pain and suffering, only to be rescued by Children's Services. With scars on his body and mind, Dad didn't talk much about his early days. But he did talk about how in the system he had to watch all of his brothers get adopted before him. He was eventually adopted and given new life, but he never really healed. Mom and he met and were married and brought me and my siblings into this world, and I'm kind of grateful for that. But it was stressful in our house, with four kids and working parents and problems that didn't appear overnight. I imagine the person suffering with Legion didn't just find themselves that way overnight. They tried to keep up a brave face or hide their suffering as long as they could. They suffered in silence until symptoms got to be too much for them to handle, and they hid themselves away from the world because of the shame and the fear and the brokenness they felt. I can imagine the people in the village growing more and more concerned as they saw this person less and less. Worries and tensions rising in the community, both within and without, in the one suffering and in the community around them. When my mom and dad separated, I'm not sure 100% of the chicken-egg situation, but before or after, my dad's mental health fell apart. For us kids, for a time, my dad hid his demons. But you can only hide them for so long. While this is a preaching gold mine, this text, I really, really struggle with it. Because demons brings a connotation of evil, and it deepens our misunderstandings of mental health. When we distance ourselves from our demons, whether those demons are in reality the chemicals in our brain contributing to our mental health, or our propensity to addiction, be it alcohol or drugs or gambling or porn or food, when we distance between them and us, we heighten the war within ourselves. The struggle between holding it all together and having it all fall apart. When we focus then on that separation within ourselves, the well part and the not so well, the mental health and the illness, that which is called Legion, and that which answers to the name given us, or our chosen name, we don't see a whole picture. We see two separate. We see division. We see strife. And those internal struggles spill out from self to community. I don't think it's a mistake that the demons called themselves Legion, meaning many. For the struggles this person endured not only affected themselves, but their family and their community. I imagine that's what led this poor soul to be chained up outside of the village. Archaic views of science and mental health and pronouncement of demons led those thick chains meant to save both the person and the town. It's no wonder that so many horror movies have their basis in religion, because this is awful stuff. Protection became distancing, and through distancing came fear. I wonder, though, that if the chains were the compassionate response. However, the more this town othered the person because of their suffering, the more they refused to understand it. And who would blame them? Mental health issues are complicated and unique to each individual person, and they lacked any modern medicine to help them. My dad's demons had names, too. He suffered from what was then called manic depression and what would become bipolar disorder. He suffered extreme lows and would call me when I was a young adult, and being 2 hours away, I was as helpless as the one who suffered with Legion's family and friends. I rarely saw the highs, but instead saw something else added to his collection around his house. He would call us when he was at the bottom, as I'm sure some of you have been at the end of those phone calls. That feeling of helplessness, knowing there's no bunch of pigs that you can cast the demons into. There were many calls where Dad didn't feel safe in his own skin. There's no magic words or perfect prayer to fix that. In those extreme lows, Dad believed he wasn't worth anything. Unfortunately, in those moments, there was belief that medication would fix it all. And so he'd be put on something, which unfortunately he'd stop taking when he was better. I don't know what more help would have looked like in my dad's life, what Jesus figure would have been necessary to walk by to offer healing and hope. I don't know what medication would have been in addition to be enough for him. But this cycle never broke, illness and wellness, which replaced a regular relationship between father and son. As the quote goes, "The day the child realizes that all adults are imperfect, they become an adolescent. The day the adolescent forgives them, they become an adult. The day the adult forgives themselves, they become wise." I certainly don't feel wise, though thankfully there's been enough time between then and now that I've cobbled together some forgiveness of myself, my inability, my youthfulness, my guilt every time I hung up the phone. In my father's life, medication wasn't enough. Prayer and pleading and faith wasn't enough. And I'm not sure there was enough to save my father's life. Long before he took his life, I knew his struggles were many and no simple cure was going to be found. It isn't true for all people, thankfully. Medication and therapy and support and compassion, all of these offer a wholeness to a person experiencing those deep divisions and their demons. In my father's life, all I felt able to offer was compassion. And it's the most human thing that Jesus offers in this experience between the demons and the divine. Because Jesus' compassion sees a whole person. Like I mentioned previously, there's a desire to separate ourselves from our demons, to put them at an arm's length, to say, the devil made me do it, to see external causes of depression, as I listed a bunch and left out a whole lot more. But Jesus offers us something different. He witnesses to this person. He refuses to deny their suffering. He sympathizes, empathizes, even converses with the demons. Jesus sees this whole person and not the divisions within them. Jesus' mercy in this strange encounter is just to know better. He asked questions. He sought to understand. He gave permission. And after the healing, Jesus doesn't say, come with me. I'll take you away from those jerks who locked you up. He says, go back to your community. Because healing comes even more so when that person is restored to the life that they were pulled from. Jesus' healing might seem otherworldly, but for those suffering with legion, with many, sometimes companionship and his desire to be understood can be enough. Without modern medicine and years of psychotherapy training, Jesus offers us something we all can do. A universal love and compassion that sees a whole person, worth saving, worth engaging, worth loving. This is the reminder that we need today. We stare at these biblical scriptures sometime and they seem from another time and they get labeled as miracles and so we distance ourselves even further. But bringing it close, everybody can sit patiently with someone else in a sad day. Love has to be behind all we say and do. And so I offer these two prayers. For those suffering, may God's love pierce the darkness, that you might know that you are worth saving, worth engaging, worth loving. And for those offering compassion and support, be it at the end of a phone or sitting in person or holding someone in prayer, in the many ways that all of that seems inadequate, know that you're not alone in the love that you share. For only together, made whole by the love of Jesus, and reunited as community, together we are the people of God. Thanks be to God.